Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Spilling the G&T podcast. We're here with Bolo.
And Dr. Tom.
Now, we're here to give you the opinion you never really asked for.
But we're giving it anyway.
That's right.
Bolo is a performer.
And look, Tom's a psychiatrist. And we're here to give you our professional review on RuPaul's Drag Race.
UK versus the World 2.
So let's raise a glass.
Or a bottle.
And start spilling.
G&T.
Podcast. Clean. Everyone, welcome back to the Drag Race podcast, the live podcast. We watch it, we give you our feelings, our opinions, and you accept it. All right,
very passive audience,
or else
very passive audience out there. No, just as thoughtful and opinionated, our audience. But we're a little bit later this week, some listeners may not know why. Bala, would you care to tell us why? Because it is all your fault.
Please apologize to the listeners. Like, everyone, I had this little competition, you know, a fitness competition.
Which one?
It was the Arnold's. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually there himself. Like, it's no joke.
We saw a big crowd of people and thought, oh God, who's that with the ego over there?
So was it this?
Who needs a bodyguard
was
here?
Was it the Birmingham Convention Center? It's huge. And we were walking around in between workout events that I had to do, and and there was one time I was walking. We were walking. There was a really big crowd, like moving, and so I said, "Oh, Tom." So we had to like walk through another way because it was just really busy. There were just so many people there. And then we also saw that Love Island guy.
Tommy Fury was there, yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
not quite
God.
In the same league as the king of 90s family entertainment, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And it's only till later on I was on TikTok and I saw that big crowd that we avoided. And it was all his bodyguards and everyone following him. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was like, oh.
There he was.
I was actually there.
But the most important attendee was, in fact, you. How did you do? Do you want to share with us?
Please, everyone, sit down. Don't stand up. Sit down, please. Oh,
this is too much clamoring. I'm sorry.
No. I won. I won my category.
Yay. You're absolutely amazing.
Thank you. It was hard, it was sore, but my mind was on Drag Race, and I apologize to you all for having a life, for living my life in Birmingham. But here we are, we're back.
At the National Exhibition Centre.
Like Maddie, we're going to give it to you straight. Okay.
You did. I did see it in your eyes, even though I saw determination and, you know, supreme hard work going into your workouts. There's a little glint in your eye that told me that you were thinking, I should be podcasting right now.
Yeah. People are waiting.
They're
refreshing their Spotify, their Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Where are they listening? They're refreshing, going, where is it? Are they okay?
And you were also kind of like, what's happened this week? I'm avoiding spoilers, but, you know, how's everybody doing this week? You know, Hannah, Scott. Charlotte, La Grande Dame, Charitha.
And we'll let you know exactly how they're doing right now. And we've seen the first part.
Very quickly.
Straight into it because I know that you've been waiting.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about myself. It's not about me.
Particularly kind of on the fly today, aren't we?
Yeah. I really want to get this out to you, everyone. We've just seen, Marina send home Sophie Kendall, which was the right thing to do because then she, like, after a while, when this happens and you stay longer than you should, it becomes a Roxy Andrews All Stars treatment, isn't it? And then people actually start to hate you and despise you
because
still
of
being there.
The meanness that is in some parts of the fan base, they blame the queens for the judges or the other girls' decisions, and of course they're not responsible. And I mean, with Roxy Andrews, it was just such a big meme throughout All Stars 2, wasn't it? Roxy being pulled along by Alaska Tox after such a strong start to the competition. Let's not forget she won the first episode, and then it was just downhill from there, bless her. But you know, Roxy, like Gothy, was a delight throughout the whole season, and it was lovely to see them there. Obviously, Roxy was rehabilitating her image, but Gothy just came across as just this sweetheart who was bewildered, bless her, and probably not fully prepared for what the competition I mean, we kept on saying week on week, didn't we? She was there for the VIP Drag Race experience and she was just happy to be there. And that was delightful. But for her to continue beyond last week wouldn't have been fair to either Gothy or the other queens.
Absolutely. We did joke about the immersive experience, yeah. The VIP package that she purchased to, I mean,
through Eventbrite.
It was that, or either she was sleeping with someone in production that was
she's got a thriving OnlyFans, isn't she?
I mean, there's just a lovely thing that Tia put on Twitter that I saw. I'm shy, I'm nervous about Snatch Game. And then she posts a picture of her, like, bulge on Twitter.
Like, well, you know, she's multifaceted, isn't she? Somebody can be confident in one realm and not confident in another. And clearly, like, good for her. She's a really sexually confident person. Good for her.
Work, mama.
Work, Gothy Kendall.
Do your thing, girl. Yes, do it. Girl.
But I will miss her because I do think last week was just encapsulated what we love about Gothy. Just the absolute chaos of her performance in Seven was just so endearing and delightful.
Let's have a quick recap because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes, there's several things. Her running to her spot.
Love it. Love it.
You know what? Not only that, her running to her spot
in front of
everyone. Yeah. In front of, can you imagine like doing your thing and then just someone running past you and just like my mind would be like, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. Although I wouldn't show it, I'd be like, what is this girl doing?
The rest of the girls were professionals about it. Like, and then her being a full beat behind on most of the group choreo.
The best thing was her walking back to her final spot.
Loved it.
During choreography. Like, she done just given up. You know what? It was icon.
Also, putting a hand over her mouth when she made a mistake. It's so endearing, so endearing. And to be honest, you know, she really contributed to making it a memorable challenge. So thank you for that, Gothy. So in terms of how everybody's doing, like, Marina's really riding high. She's got her second, if you like, full win. Because both times she's been in the top two, she's earned a win by winning the lip sync. So fantastic, Marina, a real front runner in this competition, such a superstar. I mean, nobody else could have won last week, I don't think. What do you think?
No.
She was just numero uno.
She was just, I mean, Tom, who's winning the season right now? Before we get started, who's winning? Before we go any further.
I've just, my gut is Marina right now. And like, we know we're going into a dance challenge this week as well, which we'll get into in a minute. But like, welcome to another win, Marina, frankly. Not to discount her hard work and everything. I just know she's going to kill it today.
The thing is, I want to say something like, oh, it's performance, but her, you know what? Like, wait till a fashion challenge comes up. Yeah, they've come up and she's iconic.
She made one of the best dresses during the ball. She and her runway package has been flawless.
She wore last week was
it was top tier drag. And do you know, she's funny enough in the comedic challenges. Her Snatch Game was funny enough. She was nowhere near the bottom, you know. So like, what's her Achilles heel? I don't see one. I don't see one. Tia, let's not forget, has been in top two 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Tia, it's been wonderful to see her growth since her season. She's a far more polished package with more confidence, I think, but the same lovable qualities.
Yeah.
We didn't necessarily agree with top two spots every single week, but she's still clearly doing very well in the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Tia's got a strong chance of being, it's likely to be a top four this season, isn't it? That's what the other versus the worlds have been with a lip sync SmackDown finale.
And then who are the other two spots?
So who have we got left? We've got La Grande Dame. We've got Charitha.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Scarlett. And we've got Hannah. So
Hannah. Hannah's up there. I'm putting Hannah as a very strong competitor to Marina. She doesn't have a win yet, does she?
Hannah, no, she's been top two for Snatch Game, but she's not got a win.
No.
I count them as wins, to be honest. She didn't win the lip sync for her legacy, but she's won the top two winners of Snatch Game. I count it as a win in my head canon.
Well, you know what? It's your podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's yours as well, sort of.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I mean, you're the producer. That's your credit. I'm the talent.
Well, listen to her.
Well, you know, you had such a successful day yesterday. I'm just writhing.
I'm the star. And
no, I'm the star.
No, I'm the star.
No, so yeah, I see Hannah being up there. I agree with you. Such a consistent performer. Another queen who it's hard to spot a real Achilles heel, you know? Like, sure, in the sewing challenge, the ball, she was in the bottom three, but she wasn't in the bottom two. She made something camp and fun. She can kind of do everything else.
And we'll see that from the start, haven't we?
Yeah.
Hannah's just your full package drag queen.
She really is. She's fab.
She really is.
So I'm going to ask you then, that fourth spot in the top four, La Grande Dame, Scarlet, and Charitha, who do you think is...
La Grande Dame.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think La Grande Dame has had one of the most roller coaster trajectories that we've seen out of anybody this season. Really, really high at the beginning of the season, but has struggled a bit. I think with her humor translating more than anything in Snatch Game, in the other comedic challenge, it was just hard for her humor to fully translate in the way the judges appreciated. I think Scarlett's got a chance of being up there.
Yeah, Scarlett too.
Charitha, I adore Charitha. She's such a ray of sunshine and I love her. I think she's being outgunned a little by the rest of these queens this season. She's so wonderful. She's a joy to behold. But in terms of what she's brought each week, she's just been a little outshone at times.
Mm.
Yeah, so I feel she's got perhaps the least chance of making it to the top four out of these queens, much as I love her.
We'll see what the episode, you know, highlights, what it shows us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just been told the challenge is dancing. It's strictly come prancing, so it's going to be a dancing challenge.
Well, it tells me, and I think there was something in last week that it might be very similar to the Prancing Queens challenge from season 7. Do you recall?
Well, yeah, they basically say it's going to be like they have to be both man and woman, masculine and feminine.
Which I find really, really interesting as well, because it feels like a very kind of old school cabaret kind of almost, I think it goes back to almost sort of sideshow performances and stuff and vaudeville, kind of dressing a performer or a person up in half man, half woman drag, as it were. I think it's got a very long and storied history. So I just find it really a fun and interesting thing to bring into the modern drag race sphere as a look, you know?
I mean, you just said that we saw this with season 7.
Yes, we did. And it was mainly a dance challenge, but it was also supposed to be a fashion design challenge as well, which they largely cut out.
That's right. You were saying that before. Mm. So what happened there? They
ran out of time.
They had to design their own outfits.
So I think they were given a base garment of like a tux on one side and what was probably kind of like a nude bodysuit on the other. And they were to modify that and embellish it as the design component, which, you know, each girl had a unique look and you could see her style in it. That was part of the challenge, but several of the girls, I feel like Katya and Violet have said they ran out of time and it didn't make it to air.
I mean, there's a lot to do. I'm sorry, there's a lot to do.
Yep.
Learn the choreography and create a costume.
It is. It's a lot, isn't it? When I say create the costume, yes, they do. And I think it's better viewed as altering and embellishing a base garment rather than sewing something from scratch. However, that might be a sort of academic distinction, really. I couldn't do it.
I mean...
Yeah, it still takes a lot of skill to make that look good.
I mean, it's not that hard, to be honest.
I know. I mean, you did it. You know, your costume for the Arnold Games was... It was also half man, half lady. It was beautiful.
Thank you. I like to just, you know, take my creative spaces, my creative juices, and just like create art and fitness.
You definitely did. You
and
did
fashion.
That. Yeah.
Merging worlds, yeah. Tom. Thank you. Thank you.
As our dance enthusiast and expert, what are you hoping to see this episode? And who do you think has got in the bag? Who's going to struggle?
I mean, we all know that this is already what she said today before she gave the details. She said, this week is strictly come prancing. Marina, here's a badge. Oh, sorry. The challenge is you have to go in pairs. It was just like, it was, she basically said, Marina, you're going to get another badge this week. Congratulations.
The cards have fallen well for Marina, but not to discount her eminent talents.
No, it's not to say that it's in her favor, the episodes, or that the
she's born
the seasons,
to do drag, though.
She was born to Tom. She was born to do drag.
You know who we missed out when we were trying to think who else was told to, they were born to do drag? We mentioned Crystal. We mentioned Georges. The other one was Anitra.
Ah.
Interestingly, only one winner in that selection.
The only one winner?
Crystal's the only one who won out of those three.
Yeah.
But let's see if Marina will make it 50-50. I mean, she's doing fantastically this season. We're already talking like she's won the episode or something.
Well, Marina gets to the side. Marina gets to the side, mm-hmm. the pairing, because mm-hmm. she won last week. Is that what the,
yes.
the jig was?
Yeah.
And I think Marina does something that is very, just very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Height. Yeah, that's quite mm-hmm. true. That's exactly how you should do it, especially when it's partnering.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put like Tia and Marina together or La Grande Dame and Hannah.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to do partner work? How is it going to work at all?
I think that's true. I think it's really good.
A lot of partner work, especially ballroom and the styles that sit within ballroom, is about connection, and it's about being close,
mm-hmm.
my hands are around your waist, and depending on what ballroom, how high or how low it's on your waist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How is that going to happen with La Grande Dame and Hannah?
Totally.
How
right. is it? She does a little demonstration, just to help us understand as well, just picks her up.
I mean, it was very, I thought that was really great for her. It was just like, competition aside, this is just how it is. This is how it should be. I don't know if you got, don't know why you would think this is not the best way to do it.
Felt a bit more like she was casting a show and just thinking of the aesthetic of it more than anything.
That's it.
Do you remember how Violet, because she was allowed to choose, do you remember how she chose in Prancing Queens?
No.
She chose Katya for herself as a strong dancer who'd already demonstrated amazing flips and flexibility and stuff, because I think their genre lent it. Yeah, they were doing like Vogue and something else. She split up the stronger dancers as to minimize the competition. So she put Kennedy with Pearl, and she put Trixie, who actually had a lot of dance training, with Ginger, who said she was going to struggle. And if do you remember Pearl's dancing, that was just described heavily at the time as just very white.
The Pearl Smash. Do you remember
Smash? She managed to rein in the Pearl Smash, and she attempted to twerk.
She did. Oh, gosh. Not the Pearl Smash.
Pearl Smash.
Marina's just not threatened. Mm-mm. She is just not threatened. She's like, well, I would split up my competitors, but where are they? She literally is just like, no, we'll do it by high. You. The only one who had objections was Tia.
I love Tia. She was like, is there room for discussion?
You know what I love about Tia mm-hmm. is that, yeah, he's hot. And I'd love to partner up with him, but I'm here for the fucking money. I'm here for the £50,000. Yeah, I want to sleep with him, but I don't want to lose. I just loved it because like I thought that she would be happy, but she was just like, whoa.
Was she share?
She's like, whoa. Is this up for discussion, mama? She's like, no. Marina's like, no.
No.
And then her reasoning is funny, because then Tia says, no, I'm thinking about the lifts. You know, what about the lifts? And I was like, you don't know what genre you got yet, girl. You don't know if you got, you know, you don't know what genre of dance you've got. Well, why are you talking about the lifts? Well, why are you
worrying about lifts, Tia, girl?
Yeah. She goes, oh, I'm also worried about, like, you know, the... she's just struggling to find reasons.
I'm actually quite looking forward to, like, this vision of these two lovely, long-limbed beauties dancing with each other.
These two giants just taking up space on that runway. That'll be beautiful to watch, won't it? Now, the styles are tango,
mm-hmm.
samba, uh-huh. and quick step.
Right.
Now, if I was, let's go how they divvy it up. Marina chooses for her and Hannah Samba, which I think has Marina's name all over it.
Right, and Hannah seems happy with it too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Samba, for me, it's the most, the fun. It's more upbeat. Mm-hmm. It's more like a lively, and there are parts, although it's a partner dance, there are moments where you can let your partner shine, because you can have like a moment where they can do their own thing, and then you come back together, and then they can do their little whatever they want. So there's time for like individual solos.
Great.
As well as partnering together.
Brilliant.
And it's fast. It's got so much flavor, and I think that this is right up Marina's step. Mm-hmm. Right up her alley. So of course she's going to choose it. Then we got Tango and Quickstep. Now for me, Quickstep is, it's if I was to watch a Quickstep and what I expect from it, it's almost like, do you know when you see those, what do you call those music boxes?
Like the ballerina.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the partner ones where they're just like, what, the lady's got her back arched, and then we got the man, and the man's got his arm around her, and sounds, he's like very, very statuesque.
Yeah, okay.
It's very much a picture perfect from the waist up, mm-hmm. but then from the bottom is just like really fast, and
okay.
the movement is in the bottom, and they take up. There's so much travel, but they're gliding,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but it's fast.
Yeah,
that's what I would. That's what I expect from Quickstep.
Okay,
it's very flowy, but it's also very fast, specifically on the bottom part.
Okay, okay.
I would say that would be harder. Yeah, that would be harder.
It's more challenging.
That would be challenging. And then we got Tango, and you know, everyone knows it's Tango. It's like every time you see, like, watch a movie, and then the villain wants to dance with like a guy or a girl, and they have that little romantic and the drama,
yeah.
and that connection. Well, and my then mind there's that
goes straight to Morticia and Gomez.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. And it's
in the 90s Addams Family movies.
It's passionate, it's dramatic, and it's just emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that connection is so important.
Yeah, we want passion and intensity and connection in the tango, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's like da 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 da. Like, ooh, look at,
ooh, yes, it's all
a,
of it.
Staccato, but it's grace and yeah. it's, you know, and it's passion, it's drama.
In my head, because obviously I am no sort of dance person in any way, shape, or form, but like in my head, I see like movement and swooping, and then like intensity.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
It's passion,
traveling.
Yeah. Drama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah, it's there.
Yep. And limbs wrapped around each other at moments as well.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Okie dokie.
Now, when I look at the other pairing, for me, the weakest dancer from what we've heard and seen-ish is La Grande Dame. I would have given Tango more to the weaker dancer, because I would have encouraged them. I would have given them the basic steps of tango, the very basic, and I'd ask them to really sell it on the drama, on the passion, on the connection, because that can help save that dance.
Which I also think in the characterization for Tia and La Grande Dame, there's space for that, because Tia's dropped little nuggets throughout the season, hasn't she, about how much she fancies La Grande Dame?
Not little nuggets. She bought the whole damn combo, upgraded to large, and asked for more on the side. She has been... She's got a family pack, but she's got a family sharer value. She's got a lot.
She's got it already.
Nuggets galore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's... You know, people are like, ah, oh, like, you're cute. I like you. She's basically said, La Grande Dame, I want to fuck.
Are you DTF?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you a com? My place or yours? Yeah. Literally. She's been very upfront.
No need for discretion.
And it would have played into that. It would have been nice. Mm. We wouldn't seen. It would have been good for the episode. It would have been good
for them
exploring that.
Mm. Exploring it, yes.
Because for me, Quickstep is more technical.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, but Tango goes to Tarifa and Scarlet, and then Quickstep goes to Tia and La Grande Dame. And I'm just like, ooh, you gave the week, you know, the weakest pairing, in my opinion, the weakest pairing, quite a technical dance, especially when Tango was there. I felt like Tango would have been easier because they could have just sold the character. They could have just sold the story. They could have just sold the passion of Tango and not the dance as much.
I'd have liked to have seen their long-limbed legginess doing a tango as well, I think.
Well, yeah.
Just thinking about Charitha and Scarlet, how we've just not spoken about them as much. How do you see them as dancers? Because I'm thinking with Scarlet, there was a bit of a kind of theme and a bit of a trope at one point that she generally struggled with choreo. Because you remember the challenge she went out on season 11 was basically a kind of, it was the Draglympics thing. It was basically a dance challenge, wasn't it? And she like fell over and everything.
The Draglimp, the one, did she go home on that one?
That's the one where she literally fell over, bless her, in the middle of the challenge. She recovered fantastically and she was on, she was beautiful, she had great energy. But that's when she was all gold runway in the bottom two with Raja O'Hara, right?
I thought that was really early on in the episode, that Draglympics.
In the season, you mean?
In the season, yeah.
She didn't make it far. She didn't. She was fabulous, but she was cut before, and she got a win in the first couple of episodes, but she was cut before halfway.
First of all, that was an evil challenge to give the girls that Draglympics, getting them to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've never done it again because I think that they realized, come on.
I think it was an attempt to try and redo the cheerleading one from season 9, but to tone it down a bit because everybody got injured, obviously, like Eureka knackered her knee, Charlie got diarrhea, all of that. But I think Draglympics...
Is that where we got the James Mansfield roly-poly?
Oh my God, the commando role.
Oh, I thought it was awesome. She put all her heart and soul.
She really did.
You know what? She cashed her... She was like, here, this is my retirement fund. I'm cashing it.
You know what
she was like?
Because
I'm going for this roly-poly.
She was like Blanka from Street Fighter doing the roll attack. It was exactly that.
Cannonball!
Yeah, Cannonball. I loved it. But Draglympics, a couple of seasons later, I think was like, let's try it again, but let's try not to injure anybody. But it was still, as you say, really, really hard.
Okay.
And even when we saw, remember when you performed in London and we saw, you met Scarlett and she performed, she was making a trope of it then. Didn't she perform Never Gonna Dance Again or something?
It's hard, Tom. I wasn't in the audience. No, I wasn't in the audience. I was in
What it was. It was Careless Whisper by George Michael. I'm never gonna dance again. Oh. And she was making a whole joke out of it.
So she's, okay, cool. Well, we'll see. I'll have a look. On a fifth.
Because actually, you know, she was competent in the 7 challenge. She had great stage presence and she did really well. But let's see how it translates to this sort of challenge.
We've come all the way. We've just seen the actual maxi challenge, the actual Strictly Come Prancing. And I guess what we'll do is we'll talk about the performances.
Yeah.
And then if anything came in and the rehearsals, we'll bring it up. But if we start with the first pairing, which is Marina and Hannah, I just want to say that they started it with a bang.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Oh, God. And you know what? I love Hannah kept up.
Yes. Totally.
Hannah absolutely kept up. You did see something minor where she did forget her first...
I've just got such a good eye first, for this sort of
Hannah
thing.
Hannah forgot her one of her little first steps, but that was the only thing. You know what? I didn't even see it.
Because she didn't draw attention to it.
Because, well,
I only noticed it because there was a lack of symmetry in the movement at the beginning, but it was one minor misstep and I thought she was fantastic. Both of them were the rest of it.
Marina was great. We knew she would be great. She hits the beat. She's in it. She grew. She sambas every single second and frame that she gives you. It is on. She knows how to move. She knows what her body does. She knows the da-da-da of samba. She felt it and she was it. And that's great. Hannah, having to keep up with someone like that, I mean, this could have been bad. Everyone's like, yay, Marina. Hannah's lucky she was paired with Marina. One person can't carry a dance, a partner dance.
And also, it was at Le Grand Dame said in the workroom, kind of like, you don't want to be the Michelle next to Beyonce.
Leave Michelle alone, okay?
I didn't say it. Le Grand Dame did. But I thought, I completely agree with you. Even though Marina's just a superstar and radiated... amazing kind of like winner energy, frankly. Hannah did a fantastic job, wasn't overshadowed, gave great energy characterization, and did really well with the steps.
She did. She was so great. She wasn't intimidated. And like, there's two things you can do when your partner was such a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. You can either, like, you know, fall victim to their shine and become like, you know, shade and just, you know, cower beneath it, or you can rise to it and feed off that energy.
Yeah.
We knew Hannah was a full package. This proves that she absolutely is. She went toe to toe with her, and she did. No, she wasn't. She came out equal.
Do you know what impresses me most as well is that she did share that her family all did ballroom when she was growing up, but she didn't. She spectated and was a fan, but hasn't actually done it. So I just think she's done it fantastically to have stepped up in this.
She
way.
Would have. She would have learned the. You know, even though you didn't do it, she would have watched and learned and observed, and, you know, like, okay, like, she, that is an advantage, having some knowledge about what it should look like, the timing of it, of the samba, and then I think it would have been easier for her to actually apply it.
I bet Hannah was up all night making sure she knew this as well, so like, it really paid off. Fantastic job. Just in terms of the costumes, it's not revealed if they made them or not. I'd so love to know. But they both look great. Marina's look here is one of my favorites. This fringed beaded number is really, really cute.
I love it. Now the next couple was Charitha and Scarlett. I'm not mad.
Good. I mean, you seem composed. You seem calm. I don't detect angry energy.
I'm not
from
mad.
You.
It's so good because Scarlett, I felt, was giving off
the intensity.
The intensity of it. Yeah. And like, at one point, I'm like, is she just like overthinking? But I'm like, no. I think she's just really into it. She's really in it.
I had a similar thought process to you. I was like, is she really, really having to think hard about this? But no, I think she was with intent.
Yeah.
Conveying intensity.
I think that there are moments where they were connected. Sometimes it was too much for me, too much space between them.
Okay.
I want you to, when you're close together, I want you to close that gap. Even when you're moving around each other, you should be keeping your close to each other. That's the beauty of the partnering work in ballroom. You don't want to have too much space between you. So there were any little moments, but I think it was great. If I had to say something, like, in terms of, you know, giving some, a little bit of constructive love.
Please make it constructive, Bella, because you're always so vicious.
Sometimes it was a bit, like, choppy. It was a bit, like, bit robotic-y, and it wasn't as smooth and flowy and, like, so, you know, I didn't feel it.
Okay.
In some of their movements, it was a bit jagged. But, like, they're not trained experts, are they? No, they've learned to... I think that they had the intention.
Yeah.
And I think that they had fun. I thought that they did a good job. I think they did a great job.
I agree with you. I thought they did fab. They, obviously, we mentioned Scarlett's energy. Charitha had more of a fun, flamboyant energy.
No, in the beginning, she was intense too. And then that came. And then that, you know.
Especially with the kicks, when they traveled the stage with the kicks. Charitha looked like she was having a lot of fun with that. And that brought a smile to my
face. And
then,
so she started off like really like, in the passion, in the drama. And then she was like, I'm a drag queen.
Smile. Yeah. Was there much from the rehearsals in terms of any of the girls we've seen so far having a hard time? Or did they all pretty much... I thought the obviously I'm not hugely into Strictly, but the teachers were from Strictly, and I thought they were nice and supportive, which was lovely. I really wanted to bring the best out of the queens.
I don't watch Strictly Come Dancing. I do want to say this though: when the lady, the choreographer, goes, "Here to help me is my husband," when he walked out, or like you know,
flamboyant,
I was like. Does she know? I was like...
Do either of them know?
Yeah. Does she know that he is... does she?
No. We're not working with stereotypes on this show. Straight men can be flamboyant too. And we don't even know if he's straight. He could be bi. We don't know.
Well, he's bi Felicia. I'll tell you that much. Girl, I was like, okay. That's your husband.
You judgmental
I witch.
Buzz.
And how can we forget our last pair, Tia and the Grand
Elegant, statuesque pair.
First of all, I want to commend them on, you know, doing the choreography, having to learn that style. A lot of the, it's hard, and it's hard and it's wrong to compare a lot of people and to critique them in this way, because when we do watch Ballroom, and these people get not, I mean, they've been dancing together for years, professionally, hours and hours. You know, they've grained it. So what we're used to seeing from these styles, we really can't throw these expectations on these drag queens who get like overnight to learn it.
Totally.
A new start and everything, and then having to, you know. For me, this was more Quick Step fusion. I felt like there are elements of Quick Step, but then I think the choreographer was kind and said, let's add some other things to it so that we could fill in the space. It was a really good effort.
Yeah.
It was a really good effort from these girls. This is not easy. This is hard. And again, people dance for years together. They train together for years to get what we expect of this genre. And these girls, especially under this pressure, what they're learning and what they are accomplishing is amazing, especially if you're not a dancer. Like, grand dame to you. Like, in terms of effort, amazing, amazing. In terms of comparing it within this competition.
Yeah, because this was, that's kind of what we've got to do.
Yeah, this was the weakest duo.
I could see that as well. Yeah. I would agree with that, even though I agree with you. Fantastic effort, lovely energy.
It was the weakest duo, but they were just having so much fun with it. And
I especially liked La Grande Dame's faces and camping it up at times. I appreciated the way she injected that humor into it. Now we've actually got a freeze frame on their like final pose. You know, when you look at everybody, this is me nitpicking, but like, is La Grande Dame doing a wrong pose? Because everybody with the masculine side face on is doing the same pose. Marina and Scarlett are doing the kind of hand on the forehead migraine pose, but La Grande Dame's doing something else.
You're right.
She's doing her own thing. She's a fashion girl. She's here to inject her creativity and her imagination into it.
She is holding the wrong pose.
But she looks beautiful.
But she's beautiful.
Her outfit's one of my favourites, by the way. This kind of sparkly sequence, elegant, high-necked affair. She looks beautiful.
I think Tia was great.
Yeah.
I want to commend Tia. I think Tia was did a great job. Of, you know, working together.
Yeah.
I think they both did a good job. I just think that it was a hard genre to dance to. And especially when you're not a dancer. But in terms of the competition and, you know, comparing them to their sisters, yeah. And if I had to rank the pair, they should be in the bottom.
Are we looking at, really, I think it's by pairs. Hannah and Marina, top.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got Scarlett and Charitha in the middle.
Yeah.
And Tia and La Grande Dame as the bottom two. But I think they've done great as well.
It's
a tough task, very entertaining. Loved the whole package. What made this different to Prancing Queens on season 7 was that the group element, they didn't have that. So it was really, really fun. I've really enjoyed the performance this episode.
I do want to say, in terms of like the choreography on the ensemble and the transitions, I thought they were really good. So props to the choreographer as well.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Way the introduction, bringing them in, the use of the space, the way introducing each pair was very creative. Everything flowed. It transitioned seamlessly into each new pairing. And I think that the staging, the transitions, the creativity, the choreographer did a great job. It was pleasing to my eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Fashion expert, host resident here, Dr. Torm. Talk to me.
Couldn't possibly.
Talk to me about fashion.
Talking about me. No, that's crazy. Stop it. No, that's silly. So we have business in the front, party in the back. We've got the lineup of the girls. They're in a slightly... Oh, because they're in their pairs. That's why, because they're different to the order that they came out. So first up, we have Hannah Conda. In a very fun, camp, cute presentation. She's in this lovely gold lamé suit, which is nicely tailored to give a sort of... I mean, she's reminded me a little bit of, you know, kind of like a waving cat in a window, one of the golden waving cat a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But she also mentions Top Cat, the cartoon character. Very fun, very cute. And then when she turns around, there's this kind of like mouse motif. When the cat's away, the mice will play. So she's kind of playing on that pun. Very fun, very camp, very cute.
Okay. I thought it was, you know, very, you know, children's party, but glam children's party entertainer.
Okay, I'd be entertained if she came to my party.
I'll charge extra, actually.
Makeup is beautiful as usual. Just stunning, stunning mug. Even though she's gone for like a cat, like she still looks really pretty.
I mean, I love the colours. I love the colours.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Batgirl.
Batgirl. Well, Marina comes out in this rather stunning kind of giant pagoda shoulder suit. This all black. There's a touch of early Lady Gaga. There's a touch of Mugler in there. And when she turns around, she seems to have a fully functional karaoke unit in the back.
That really is a party.
Which is just amazing. Yeah, she took it very literally, but did a great job with it.
It would have been awesome if she came out, because she pulled out a mic and she sung like, people hating on the cover.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing. Or what else?
999 lives, 9999 lives.
Let loose, absolutely loose. That would be even better.
That would have been.
Gonna win at the thunder.
That would have been. That's the song she should have sung. She should have come out and sung Let Loose. That would have been it.
Would have been fantastic. But really, really great interpretation of the theme. Very fun. So next up we have Scarlett giving actually quite a literal rendition of Barbra Streisand's outfit that she wore to the Oscars. I think it was 69. Well, she won an Oscar that year for Funny Girl.
No, 69. It's a thing here in the UK.
I don't know what you mean, but it sounds crude. But yeah, she looks stunning. I love this because the original ensemble was a sheer, sparkly, but high-necked ensemble. Quite daring for the time, really. And Scarlett's made a lovely interpretation of it. Her hair's a bit different to Barbara's, because I think of Barbara in that era as having a bob with a fringe, but she still looks really, really pretty. Obviously the bell bottoms are a lovely feature. I think she's exaggerated that and it's created almost like a fishtail sort of effect.
I love the look.
At the back she's got a cheeky little bottom reveal.
Name me two other queens who have done that.
Detox,
yes,
with the feathers. I feel like Detox is the first to do it because it was a big deal. I think she turned around and she went, yeah. And I remember Santino going something about crack is back or something. Who else has done that? Alexis Michelle. Any others? Probably a few.
Probably lots.
Probably a few. Which always makes me think of that Mugler gown, the couture gown from the mid-90s.
Yeah, same.
The bottom cut.
Yeah, same here. My mind went straight there when we were talking about this, actually.
This is a lovely outfit. She looks great.
I love the outfit. Yeah. I love the outfit.
And lovely homage to one of her favourite performers.
Next up, we had Tracy Turnblad.
Well, very 60s. So Charitha comes out giving me fun, flamboyant, camp, 60s Carnaby Street energy in this shift dress with the really fabulous sleeves, actually. Charitha's really going for this devil motif this season, isn't she? Before this season, it's not something I necessarily would have associated with her. But it's to do with her song, really, isn't it? The kind of... the Devil Eve Inferno song that she does.
Okay.
I think so anyway. It's becoming a part of her branding. She looks great. I feel like this is very Charitha. And when she turns around, it's a bottom reveal, with a devil tail, which was cute.
Mm.
But I think the ensemble is cute and right on brand for Charitha.
Is it wrong that I want her to lip sync to give me a Coco Montrese sleeves moment? With those sleeves? Can you see it?
So she should win if she's going to lip sync.
Oh, yeah. I want her to win so that she can... I want a Coco Montrese sleeves moment. That's what I want to say.
But only specifically, they're going to do Cold Hearted Snake, obviously.
Yeah. Last minute change. The song this week is now Paula Abdul. Yep. That'd be great.
We actually have Paula Abdul herself here to sing it live.
Yeah. Marina, can we please have your karaoke machine? Thank you. Paula Abdul, when you're ready.
It works out beautifully.
There it is.
Yeah. And LaToya Jackson will be cheering on from the sidelines. Now, La Grande Dame looks typically stunning, giving us a bridal look with a kind of combat armory reveal at the back.
She's giving me
Nina Williams from Tekken, but also the bride from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Like, these themes feel like a kick-ass warrior bride, potentially going to become a widow very soon, but by her own hands. So obviously she looks really gorgeous. I love this dress. Just the delicate draping of the chiffon. The corset fits her beautifully. She just looks hugely, hugely elegant. Just really, really beautiful.
How much money do you have? Like, or what connections do you have in this fashion world? Because this garment is just wow.
I'd be interested to know who made this because, you know, obviously she has worn some actual Kevin Germanier runway pieces because they're big collaborators. She walks in Kevin Germanier's shows and everything. But last week's Saint Laurent homage was made by Kevin Germanier as well, out of condoms.
He's good.
Yeah. Well, he and his team created it. Yeah, beautiful. So who knows who made this, but it's gorgeous. It's really, really beautiful. And Tia looks really pretty. You know, from the front, she looks like she's wearing this really, really beautiful kind of ruched mini dress. And I like the draping and the shoulder detailing, showing off her beautiful legs and her gorgeous figure with this nice train at the back. And when she turns around, there are all the arrows in her back as an homage to Saint Sebastian, who she tells a story has apparently become a queer icon. I was not aware of this. Are you aware of this?
No. Who?
Saint Sebastian. Have you bumped into him at all?
No.
No?
Let me just text. Keep going. I'll just text her.
But apparently he looks fit in like the Renaissance paintings of him. So the kind of neo-romantic paintings. Anyway, she looks gorgeous, but really, really beautiful. So in terms of runways, who are your faves?
My favorite, Scarlett and La Grande Dame.
I like the elegance of La Grande Dame's reveal. It's kind of unexpected. And
you say reveal. I mean, we saw the red from a mile away.
I didn't. I've not got very good eyes. I think Scarlett and La Grande Dame are my favorites on the runway too. Yep. But it doesn't change who I think should win the challenge.
Yeah.
So before we hear the judges, we're pretty set really on Hannah and Marina just being straight up top two, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely the case.
Yep.
And if the bottoms, if they're done in pairs and they are bottoms, who are you sending home, Le Grand or Tia? It's quite easy, isn't it? It has to be Le Grand because Tia's track record, Tia's killing it.
It would break my heart to see either of them go. But if it comes down to that, La Grande Dame has had a falling trajectory with two really, really super strong starts of the season, with Tia actually having a rising trajectory and gaining momentum. And it would also be Tia's first time in the bottom two. They've got the same number of wins. Tia has been in the top three times. La Grande's been in the top two times.
It would be unfair to mark them individually because the way that you perform ballroom or partner dance is absolutely reliant on connection and your partner, so it makes no sense to take one away and mark them individually. They have to be marked in pairs.
I feel like you're implying that they might try and do that.
Yeah, if they do that, that's wrong. You can't split up a partner dance and individually. You can't, because it's push and pull, it's yin and yang. It's silly to try and break them up.
Part of me wonders
in terms of individual assessments.
Part of me wonders if they might do that because I don't think the show would want either Tia or La Grande Dame to go home this episode.
We'll see. Okay, so we're just seeing the judging and some of the actual judging from the girls. The top two, rightfully so, Marina and Hannah.
Very happy with that outcome. Congratulations, Marina and Hannah.
The bottom two is Tia and La Grande Dame.
No. Sorry.
Sorry. The bottom two is not Tia and La Grande Dame. It is Tarifa and Scarlet Envy.
Yep.
And I just feel like there are... Unfortunately, there are shenanigans, left, right, center, up, down, in, out, just shenanigans, because there is no way that performance that we saw, that I saw from Tia and La Grande Dame was safe.
I would agree. You know, we've already said it was a really fab performance overall. That we really enjoyed what all the girls did, but it felt quite distinct. Yeah. Kind of it was top, middle, and bottom.
It was very easy to see that they were the bottom pair, and for me, the most hardworking, the one who had to work the hardest, who was the grand dame, she did work hard. She did her thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that they gave her any negative criticism on her dancing. Unless it
wasn't aired or what.
And I'm wondering that they must have been editing it to the gods, to the heavens, to make her sound, to give her that kind of feedback. What I'm trying to say is that I feel really bad for Tarifa and Scarlett, because you do not belong in the bottom
two. I think it's quite unfair to them as well. And
yeah,
to be honest, the feedback that Scarlett got was almost unanimously positive based on both performance and her look. So she must be quite shocked. Charitha, they gave her a warning shot by actually being quite harsh, I thought, in the judging on Charitha. But then I think she saw the writing on the wall.
If I was Tarifa and I was put in the bottom this week for this challenge, knowing that I shouldn't be, the writing's on the wall, unfortunately. They're trying to get rid of me. And it's not because you were the worst this week, my darling.
Uh-huh.
This is production.
Do know that, Tarifa.
So who would you send home if you won the lip sync?
In this situation,
yeah,
it is quite easy, unfortunately. And because Scarlett just has a better track record than Tarifa. Both coming into this and just based on this season as well. Tarifa's an absolute delight. She warms my heart every time she comes on stage. She's full of joy. I love her to bits. She's not got a win. She's not been in the top two. And she has been in the bottom before. Scarlett has an actual win and hasn't been in the bottom two. So it is quite clear cut for me. What about you?
Yeah, very much the same as you. I think that they both would choose Tarifa because it's just, yeah, it is what it is. Who's winning this lip sync?
I mean, Marina's a killer in lip syncs, but Hannah's a fab lip syncer too. If with the right song choice, she could really hold her own.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Hannah here because I want Hannah to have a win. Yeah. I really want Hannah to have a win, but it's, come on, when you're going up against Marina, you have to be a bit scared. You have to. What a lip sync. What a great lip sync.
To release by Agnes.
First of all, I like the song, but then I like seeing two good performers give us a lip sync. Yeah? And it was a performance.
It really was.
Where do you start? I felt joyous the whole time watching it. It made me feel good. I love that they both did that little samba piece in the middle.
That was really cute.
I love seeing moments like that because it almost takes the power away from like the moment of them thinking that they are throwing us, especially when they're in the bottom.
Yeah.
And they have a moment of connection where it's about us and screw the competition, screw the judgments.
Yeah.
We're having our own moment. I love moments like that. And I felt like this was such a good vibe. Marina is just a killer.
She's a murderess.
And it's the same thing that happened in the actual Maxi Challenge. It was Hannah keeping up and not being overshadowed too much.
I completely agree. She put in a really fab performance. Yeah. She really did.
She did. She was great. Mm. Hannah was great. I love the way she dances. I love her movements. I love her soul and her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Marina found that passion, and I just she tapped into the anguish of the song, and she made me see it clearer.
Yeah,
I could see the song clearer.
Mm-hmm.
In Marina's dance. I felt the song more through her performance and her, you know, and what she was giving and the story that she was telling.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. And then she, you know, not the symbolism when she shared her with a costume reveal, she shared her old self.
Ooh,
and
she
released herself, and then she gave into the freedom.
Bob Mackie, that dress underneath as well.
I mean, Marina, she's won, but Hannah was just as great. But
Hannah's performance would have won in many other lip syncs.
If this was Hannah, if you're in the top with anyone else, this was yours, hands down.
She did a fab job, but Marina just pushed it over the edge and won this lip sync.
I don't think that, to add to it, I don't think that Hannah's costume and makeup also played in her favour.
There was nothing she could do about the makeup. And I think she being like a visual aesthetic person, I think it's just like, I need to have a dance outfit that makes sense with this makeup.
I mean, the song's released me. She brought out some wipes instead of like wiping away the makeup just showing her true self. That would have been something that would have gone with the music.
I don't know, I'd feel a bit, don't want her gorgeous, gorgeous artistic mug being destroyed, to be honest.
But that's, the winner is Marina. Yeah?
Yes.
Congratulations, Marina. Three badges.
But also, like, fab job, Hannah. Great episode for you, too.
Yeah.
These two queens are riding high in the competition. They really are.
Hannah, it could be your turn next week.
Well, we know it's roast next week. But before we go on to that, we do say goodbye to an adorable fave of ours, Treatha May. Now, just to compound my love of Treatha May, she was such a class act all episode. From the minute she got the negative critiques on stage, I think she could tell what was happening and that there wasn't much chance of her staying in the competition, but she retained her joyful energy. She was there to laugh and have fun and enjoy her final few moments with her sisters. God, that sounds dramatic, doesn't it? Her final few moments with her sisters. But even when Marina called her name on stage, she was hilarious. That reaction was fab. Just love this queen so much. She may not have won badges this season, but she's earned even more fans.
Not the cliche, but she's won hearts. Not the cliche, Tom.
Oh,
she may not have won badges, but she's won the hearts of many people around the world.
I just love her. I just think she's adorable. And I'm going to miss her, that's all. However, based on track record, it was the right decision. I think it would have been unfair to send Scarlett home.
Marina
shouldn't have been in the bottom two anyway.
Marina
nor should Treatha.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever, let's move past that.
She's the queen of fairness so far. She's been really good. She's been really great.
She's a smart girl. She's playing it really, really smart. She is creating a situation where nobody's got permission to send her home if she's in the bottom.
She's learned from the mistakes of her sister.
Absolutely. Her Thai sister, Pangina.
She is not sending home Majumbo.
Was smoten as soon as it was possible.
It was written into law. It is tattooed in her mind. What happened if you try to strategize?
There was like a Philippines Thai conference before this. And Pangina and Marina had a very, very strong conversation. And Pangina was like, don't make the same mistakes I did, love.
And apparently, you know how that, you know, she cried, she sobbed, she wept, she gave into her emotions in the moment that Blue sent her home.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really bad. We felt it, we heard it, you saw the shock on Blue's face.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that someone in the production team had said that it was bad what was on TV. Apparently, it was much worse.
But do you also know, another thing that I heard on the grapevine was Jimbo had a huge tantrum backstage that also went on for ages after she was eliminated.
A tantrum?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the queen of camp and button pushing. Of course she had a tantrum. Because her exit line was actually, remember, really hilarious. Like, Rue and your little dog too. That's you, Michelle. And off she went after that fab little send-off and performance. But apparently it was ructions backstage.
Oh, God. Mm. Wow. Yeah.
And you heard that story from Blue as well, didn't you? About how, because they were still in the hotel and stuff. And she saw Jimbo picking up her, I think they bring breakfast to their rooms. She saw Jimbo and Jimbo was like, send home Pangina for me. And then shut her door. And she did.
Oh, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Oh, she's, you know, cameras on or off. I would love to see.
This is what I mean about her reining it in so much on All Stars 8.
Yeah.
I think we saw her in her truest form on UK versus the world. Defo. Anyway, excited for next week, but we're going to be back on the microphones in a few minutes. We're going to go get a spot of lunch, aren't we?
Yeah. And then we're going to do the next season. But it doesn't matter because people could be listening to this like a year from now, Tom. Mm. They don't need to know that we were late.
I'd like them to know. I'd like them to know that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, sue us.
They're just transparent. So that's so transparent, God. That's so transparent. Anyway, everyone, thanks for listening. You'll hear from us very soon. This is Bolo.
And Dr. Tom.
You'll hear from us very soon. Just repeating myself again. That's so ugly.
Just bye.
That's it. Bye.
Sorry, guys.
Bye. Okay? Okay, we're off our game, okay? You got us. We're human. Okay, we make mistakes. We're not perfect.
Lots of love, guys. See you soon.